Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sports of the Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, Wayne Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Good to be on. Yeah, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this week's episode of Sports of the Legend. I'm Wayne Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew, and let's get to the show. Today we're going to talk about the Knicks, the Nets, you know, getting a big man. You know, we'll talk about that. You know, we'll talk about the Jets and Giants rumors, Mets and Yankees as they enter, they're entering, the season on Thursday. And, you know, we'll also talk about WWE and all the other wrestling news.
Definitely.
But most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to make your voice heard on any of these topics and more, feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, again, we'd love to hear from you. Make your voice be heard. But, let's dive into the Knicks. And the title of today's episode is Knicks Don't Want to Lose, But Does the Refs Want Them to? And basically, the Knicks, they've been winning some games, but the last couple of games against the 76ers, they've had some, you know, some crazy WWE F refs going on, you know, shenanigans going on with them losing, you know, lately, you know. But, you know, fortunately for the Knicks, you know, today they were able to hold on, you know, to the victory against the Bucks, you know, a team that they've been playing pretty well for the most part. They beat them up the first game. They faced them, if my memory serves me right. The last time they faced them, they got blown out by the Bucks by like 30 points. And then tonight, you know, the Knicks were able to hold on to the 102-96 victory, you know, highlighted by, you know, Alec Burke, man, hitting, six three-pointers, which obviously is a career high for him. And, you know, he finished with a double-double, 21 points, 10 rebounds. And for the last six games, you know, he's been averaging 21.3 points. So he's definitely been a catalyst. I know RJ Barrett, he's been scoring well lately. You know, quickly, of course. Today Derrick Rose, he played his first game after missing almost a month due to COVID, and he went 6 for 15 and finished the game with 13 points. So he looks to be back to his old self, not Chicago Bulls' old self, but you know, his old self this year with the Knicks. So, and Obi Toppin had a sighting. He scored his first point since March 13, you know, and, you know, he ended the game with points in only 7 minutes. So the Knicks are back two games over 500. So they should be, 24-22? And this is the first time that they've been over two games over 500 since the beginning of the season when they were 5-3. Well, we're waiting for that other shoe to fall off from the Knicks, but so far, give the Knicks credit. You know, they've been playing pretty well. You know, they've been exceeding expectations, and You know, the trading deadline came. You know, they unfortunately traded Austin Rivers, you know, son of Doc Rivers. And, you know, even though it may on the surface look like they punted the season by not making an acquisition, you know, getting Ball or Drummond or someone like that or Oladipo, but, you know, they didn't want to mess up with the chemistry. So it looks like, you know, they made the right move, but time will tell. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I was against them, you know, getting someone which would mess up the team chemistry. I mean, I wasn't really a big big into getting Victor Oladipo unless we would, you know, be trading away assets that we didn't need, like a Frank Ntilikina, you know. But then again, if you did get a Oladipo, you know, he plays the same position as Barrett. So where would you play Barrett? You know, you then have to probably send Barrett to the bench, which I don't want because Barrett has been playing really good lately. So I think right now, you know, what the Knicks can do is they can use a guy like Drummond, especially with the injury now to Mitchell Robinson. You know, they need a guy, you know, in the paint who can score, who can post up, you know, gives you that big body, you know, and the pulse. If they can find a way to get this guy, I mean, that will be great. And I think they'll have a really good chance of advancing in the postseason. But as far as trading for anyone else, you know, I was against it because I feel like, you know, if they had gotten any of those guys, you know, it would have messed up the Knicks, the chemistry of the team. This team has been playing well together. You know, they're learning the system under Thibodeau. And yeah, and these guys are playing well. I mean, they're learning to grind out these games. I mean, you saw the other night where it looked like they were going to lose to the Wizards, and they ended up coming back. You know, a game like that, you know, a year or two ago, the Knicks would have lost that game. But they're learning together how to win those games. So, you know, hopefully they can keep it up. But, you know, I'm not disappointed that they didn't get anybody during this trade deadline. I mean, they still have a chance to possibly get Drummond, you know, since he was just bought out today. So we'll see if either the Knicks or the Lakers are able to grab him.
Yeah. Never know. Could be the Lakers. Could even be the Nets, but I don't think Nets are going to have all that salary cap. I mean, they just signed
The Nets just signed Aldridge. So they're not getting Drummond. Where are you going to play these guys?
He'd have to take a great cut.
Yeah, but where do you play him? I mean, there's nowhere to play him, pretty much.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's true. But, one more news about the Knicks before we move over to the Nets. Just after, Mitchell Robinson, he was coming back, you know, from the injury, from his recent injury. Now he's dealing with a fractured foot. So, man, who knows when he's gonna come back. I mean, he injured himself, in the game in the first quarter, and it's really messed up. That's why, you know, they need to go after Drummond. You know. I mean, that's all they gotta try to get this opportunity, improve their ball club.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, you weren't disappointed that, you know, they didn't get Lonzo Ball either?
I mean, we don't, the thing is, if we had gotten Lonzo Ball, what do you do with guys like Quickly and Rose? You know, and then Payton. You know, well, I guess they would have traded probably Nikita and maybe Payton. But who knows?
I don't know. Who knows? Because, you know, Thibodeau seems to be in love with Payton. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not really a big Lonzo Ball fan. I'm not that impressed with him, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I don't know, man. I don't think I would have been impressed if we had gotten him, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. As his scoring came up miraculously, and, you know, obviously, you know, his passing ability is, you know, it is basically what they needed, but, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to step up his game, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, you know. So, I'm fine with the team that we have right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you. But, yeah, moving on to the Nets. And, yeah, the Nets, they made a big move. I don't think they did anything in the trading deadline, but, you know, they made a big move in signing LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, who was released by the Spurs. So, you know, props to the Nets.
Yeah, that's a really good move for them. I mean, with this move, you know, it puts them, you know, way above all the other teams. So, you know, they have to compete for the championship now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's win or bust now.
Absolutely. And, yeah, the Nets, you know, the Nets are, you know, they're trying to build off their recent victory Friday night against the Pistons when they defeated them. Final score 113 to 101. I mean, I should say 113 to 111 in the Motor City. So the Nets are going to try to keep their winning streak alive when they host the Timberwolves on Monday night. So, but yeah, the Nets, man, the Nets are not playing. They are they're just running a rough shot. And they're getting Blake Griffin off the bench. You know, they're going to have to, you know, they're signing LaMarcus Aldridge. So, you know, they're not playing. And Harden, he's making a huge case for him to be the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
Which isn't something fun
for
him.
You know, at this point, yeah, you could say he probably is the MVP, I guess.
Yeah, man, that dude can turn it on and off.
Yeah, people were doubting him earlier this year when he came into the season, you know, out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's ever since he's gone to the Nets, you know, he's back to being James Harden.
Yep. Yeah, man, he is. Yeah, he's bringing it, man. He's like a walking triple double, man. It's like practically every game he has. He has a triple-double, and, you know, yeah, he almost had one on Friday night. You know, he led the Nets with 44 points, with 14 rebounds and 8 assists.
Yep.
Yeah, he was dominating the Pistons. And then Blake Griffin against his former team, he scored 17 points. So, you know, the Nets – they started doing their thing, you know. Yeah, they're going to be a scary team. If they could get Durant healthy and, you know, everybody firing on all cylinders, I mean, watch out.
Yeah.
And then not to mention with LeBron's, injury, I mean, that could be the opening they need to win the championship.
Yeah, possibly.
First ever NBA championship, so. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, both New York teams are relevant in the city.
Oh, yeah. Playing well, Nets playing well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a hot summer.
Oh, yeah. For sure. No doubt about that. And speaking of which, shifting gears to the spiritual sons of the Boys of Summer from the Brooklyn Dodgers. I'm talking about the New York Mets, man. They, you know, they've been, you know, they've made some big moves, you know, trading for Lindor and Carrasco. Unfortunately, Carrasco, he's injured. He's going to be out for like 2 months. Lindor, man, he's, I know it's spring training, but this dude, he, you know, he's proving that he wants to make the money. He's in Jerry Maguire mode. Show me the money. This dude is just keep raking. Yeah. I mean, he even did well today. I mean, he has a 9-game hitting streak. Obviously, you know, this is spring training, but he had like a 4-game hit game, like I think on Friday. And yeah, he reached base all 4 times today. You know, including getting a two run single, and you know he finished 3 for 3, 3 RBIs and a walk, and he's batting 500 with a 10-game you know hitting streak. I mean, this guy he's been phenomenal. Dom Smith, you know, who needs a DH when you got Dom Smith, man? This guy he hit not one but 2 home runs today. You know, McCauley's going to think they're going to need to check him for PEDs. Dude is hitting bombs. Hit a bomb in the 6th and the 7th inning, you know. And if he was a mean guy, he would have hit another one in the 8th if he batted in the 8th, you know. But this guy, he's been crushing it. And Pete Alonso does what a Pete Alonso does. And he went deep with a 2-run home run. Probably his 4th of the year, maybe. And yeah, man, the Mets they won by the final score 8-3 against the Astros, a team you are very familiar with, Mac.
Oh yeah.
And the Mets actually did an opener game. They had a scoreless first from Jacob Barnes, a guy who's trying to make the team. And then Lucchese, a guy who's supposed to be who looks to be the 5th starter, he threw 4 2/3 innings until he gave up a solo home run to Bregman. But yeah, all in all, the Mets, you know, the pitching pitched well, you know, they faced Altuve, Bregman, and I'm trying to think who's the other guy. Was it Brantley? I'm trying to think who the other third guy that they were facing. Because they faced three guys in their the Mets faced 3 guys in the the Astros batting order today. So it wasn't like they were facing it wasn't like they were facing, you know, like minor leaguers and, you know, no-name guys on the back of their jerseys. You know, they were really facing, you know, some of the, you know, the top guys of the, you know, the Astros. So,
yeah.
Plus, we're a few days away from opening day. So, it's time to put up or shut up. So, good thing the Mets are firing on all cylinders, you know, as they approach the April 1st opening day. And, you know, shifting gears with the Yankees. And the Yankees, I think Voit injured himself.
Yeah, so he has a partial tear in his meniscus, so he's going to miss games until early June, so looks like Jay Bruce will be starting at first base on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Bruce has been playing well in
yeah.
spring training, so he deserves it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I thought it would have been a travesty if Jay Bruce didn't make the club, because he was raking it, you know, hitting some bombs. You know, I thought he – and a guy like that who has, you know, who's a slugger like that, you know, You never know him putting on the pinstripes, you know?
Yeah.
He could, you know, you've seen it, the wonders for people, so.
Yeah.
You know, he had a, you know, a bad tenure with the Mets, but he did have that 1 year where he rebounded and hit 29 home runs with the Mets before he got traded. So who knows, you know, with the pressure off of him, you know, that dude could be an X factor for the Yankees that they didn't expect.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was a good pickup. So I think he can definitely help our team.
Yeah, so now you're going to see what happens with Tyone, you know, making his Yankee debut.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. Tyone, Kluber, you know, Yankees right now, they have a lot of potential for their starting pitching.
Herman's been pitching good, you know, after he's coming back from, you know, his controversial absence. So, you know, he has a lot
like
of improvement, too.
Yeah,
he's pitched well.
Ace or second guy. They're going to have to decide, you know, who's that fifth star. Is it going to be Devi Garcia or Herman? You know, I would go with Herman just because of experience.
They sent Devi Garcia down.
Oh, they did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, okay. I think they sent him down yesterday.
Oh, okay. So it looks like Herman then. And I prefer him because, you know, before, you know, he was suspended, he was looking like our ace before we got cold. So that's good that he'll be starting again.
Yeah, moving on. Oh, one more thing I forgot to cover with the Knicks. I don't know if you heard Phil Jackson spoke recently about his
Knicks tenure. I heard about it.
Oh, you heard about that?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna dive into it. We're gonna dive right into it. Here's what this guy said, and here's what my problem was with Phil Jackson. Yes, this man played with the Knicks from 67 to 78.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, he is. He did not win but two titles with the Knicks. But this guy, man, he has no allegiance to the Knicks whatsoever, man. This guy hates the Knicks, man. He hates the Knicks. He's part of the Knicks legacy, and he just disavowed. He's like, you know, like a child star who hates the TV show that made them famous or the movie that made them famous. Like, That's basically what Phil Jackson is, man. You know, so, I mean, yes, to his credit, he does credit Red Holtzman for, you know, his career, and, you know, but like he rarely acknowledged or cares about his Knicks tenure, you know, as a player, and, you know, he just literally took the money. Like, this is like James Dolan has offered him multiple times to be in charge of the Knicks, obviously to be the head coach, you know, in the past, and he's always flat out turned them down. And then, you know, James Dolan gave him like what, 60 to 65 million reasons to come to the Knicks, and obviously he took the money and ran. And don't take my words for it, folks. Listen to what this guy said, and I quote, It was best to leave, and I think as a favor, Dolan relieved me of that job. I think he actually did me a favor. All right, let's see what else he said.
Well,
now,
there was more to it than that.
Oh, no, I'm diving in. I'm going in.
Yeah.
You know?
It wasn't only that. He didn't go into more details.
About Melo. I'm going in.
Melo, the
in.
Media, the organization,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going in. Here's what he says about Carmelo Anthony. Okay, he wanted to trade Melo. After he gave him, he re-signed him and offered him a no-trade clause. Remind you, Carmelo Anthony was a free agent. He re-signed him. Plus, he gave him a no-trade clause. But yet, he wanted to trade Carmelo, and Carmelo didn't want to comply. I wonder why. Maybe he didn't want to comply is because you gave him a no-trade clause. He exercised his right that you gave him to exercise that the clause to not get traded. Okay, here's what he said about Carmelo. Carmelo, I think, wanted to be a leader, but I don't think he completely knew how to be a leader as a player. And I think that the strength of his personality was intimidating to some of the coaches that were asked to coach the team. And so there wasn't this compliance that has to happen between players and coach. And as much as I try to interject my own beliefs, I don't think you're close enough to the ground in that situation to really be effective in dictating how things are going to be done. I wanted to trade Carmelo, and he's got a no-trade clause that they asked for. But I suggested that if there was a situation and I asked them to trade, I wanted them to be compliant with it and all your choices that you want. But I want you to get along with the idea that maybe your time has come with being with the Knicks. So that was met without compliance. Okay, let's see. Okay, so mind you, he blames the coaches that he hired for Carmelo. Okay, let's dive in. What does he say about Derek Fisher? Derek Fisher, I thought, was one of my leaders on the Lakers, and the guy who understands the relationship of players to a game, and offensively how the triangle offense, how the system plays, which is obviously the triangle offense. He was himself caught in a personal situation. Remember that Matt Barnes situation. It was a distraction and at best undermined his authority with the team. Okay, I agree with that part. Perhaps the best thing I could have done was coach the team myself. Well, he's right there. But I wasn't physically able to do that. I had to convey that through people I chose to step in. It didn't seem to work out. As a consequence, I thought we had the talent, but we never found that niche. The ability to play beyond the talent and concise, connected, organized basketball. And, oh, yeah, and there was another quote, like he was mentioned, he was basically blaming the Knicks fans for getting in the way of the progress of the team. Now, mind you, what does Kurt Rambis, Derek Fisher have in common? And didn't he hire Hornacek too? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But he definitely hired Fisher and Rambis. 100% he did that. But dude, you're complaining that the coaches wasn't able to have authority over the players. You're the one that hired them. You're the one that hired those guys. You're the one that re-signed Carmelo, and you're the one that gave him a no-trade clause. But now you're mad at him because he wants to exercise his no-trade clause not to get traded? Whose fault is that? That's you, 11-time coaching champion, Phil Jackson. That's you. You have to take ownership of your what you did. You messed up. As great as you've been in coaching, you know, the greats, Michael Jordan and Kobe and Shaq, you gotta take the L on this one. I know you're not used to taking L's. You know, you have 13 rings, 2 with the Knicks and 11 with the Lakers and Bulls. But man, you gotta take the L on this one. You cannot just put the blame on everybody else. You gotta take ownership on this. I mean, come on. I mean, what are you doing? You're a basketball Hall of Famer. You should know better. Putting blame on other people. And he's right. He should have coached the team. If he wasn't going to coach the team, which I've been saying for years, if he's not going to coach the team, then he has no business. He has no business on this team. Because Phil Jackson, the only way it would work, if he's going to be the GM, then you got to go old school. You got to do what the Timberwolves did with Thibodeau, which obviously that didn't work out either. If you're going to have a Hall of Fame head coach running your team as a GM or president, you better darn well sure he should be the head coach or at least have a Hall of Fame, a guy who you surefire know is going to be a Hall of Fame head coach coaching him. Like, come on. You have Phil Jackson, and you – and he didn't do what he was known to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on! Like, you don't go to a bakery to get a pizzeria or a pizzeria to get a bakery. You go to, you know what I mean? You go to the place. You know what I mean? You gotta go to where you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You gotta go to what you want. You don't go to Red Lobster to get I'm trying to think of something random. Help me here, man. I'm trying to think
I'm trying to come up with
an analogy here.
I have a different take on his interview than you do. You know, I dissected it differently from what he talked about. So from his interview, you know, I pretty much got a better understanding of what he had to go through.
Okay.
You know, and what all these previous Knicks coaches had to go through under this dysfunctional Knicks organization.
I agree
now,
with that.
Phil Jackson, you know, when he took his job, you know, people were expecting him to, you know, bring us to the promised land. Right? He did with the Bulls and Lakers. But
absolutely.
At his age, you know, he wasn't physically fit to coach the team, which he admits in the interview, you know. Even though a lot of people wanted him to coach the team, he couldn't do it. Now, he is responsible when he was, named president, right, of operations.
Uh-huh.
He did make some bad decisions. You know, he signed Derek Fisher, who's an experience, you know.
And Joakim Noah.
And he brought Joakim Noah, who had injuries. I don't fault him for re-signing Carmelo because at that point, you know, Carmelo was our best player. So he had to re-sign him. But to give him a no-trade clause and then try to trade him, that didn't make any sense. You know, so, you know, he wasn't good at making decisions for the Knicks. But then again, as a Knicks coach, when you put into that position and you have a owner who wants you to win now, he had no choice. You know, he had to make some of these crazy decisions just so that he could put a winning team out there. And, you know, team never gelled, and they never fit his triangle system. And, you know, he never had the right players, and Carmelo wasn't a leader. He's spot on with that. Carmelo was never a leader on this team. He's not that type of player. You know, and I agree with him. Carmelo not being a leader and being a selfish player, that's kind of intimidating to other players around him and to coaches. That's why eventually the Knicks had to part ways with Carmelo. You know, a player like that, you know, you just can't win with him. And you're seeing it now with, you know, the teams that he's gone to after that. With, wasn't he on Oakland? He was on Thunder, right?
OKC, and Portland.
Yeah, you know, Carmelo doesn't have that leadership, you know, he doesn't have the leadership skills to lead a team. So I agree with him on that. And I do agree with him a little bit on the media, how the media, you know, can place blame on the Knicks and then, you know, write crazy articles. You know, we've seen it. You know, we've seen the media, you know, go switch sides back and forth between the Nets and the Knicks, especially this guy Frank Isola, who was once a Knicks beat writer. He's all of a sudden now going to the Nets, and now the Knicks are winning, now he's back on the Knicks bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
So the media, you know, they're wishy, you know, they're wishy-washy, you know? Go ahead.
No, I was saying the media has always been bandwagon, especially baseball. Like, they're always pro-Yankees, but once the Mets are doing good, Mets are winning three games in a row, or the Mets are in the playoffs, they act like they're the biggest Mets fans. And afterwards, when the Mets fail, they talk trash about the Mets, and it's back to the Yankees as if nothing happened. 100%.
Yeah.
Continue what you were saying. I apologize for interrupting.
No, sorry. It's fine. And then, you know, I don't think it was right for him to blame Knicks fans. I mean, the Knicks... We're just fans. We're giving our opinions. We don't make decisions, you know. So for him to make to blame the Knicks, you know, that's really dumb because we don't have no control over what the team does. You know, we're not owners of the organization. So I mean, yes, there are some Knicks fans that are delusional. Yes, you know, but again, we don't make decisions for the team. So I don't know how he can think that Knicks can interfere, Knicks fans can interfere with what the Knicks are doing. It doesn't make any sense.
Literally knows. If Knicks fans had rights, the first thing they would have done was got rid of Dolan. So that right there proves we have no power.
Yeah.
The NBA wants Dolan in there because he's a billionaire. That's basically what it is. And until they force him to sell the team, which he'll never do, you know, he's gonna just keep tossing out fans who are expressing their opinions.
I mean, from the interview, you know, in summary, you know, what I got from it is that, you know, I got a better understanding of what he got to go through, you know, during his tenure as president of this organization, and some of the bad decisions that he made, you know, which he does admit, you know, he made some bad decisions. But some of the blame that he puts on the fans, you know, come on, man. Again, we don't have any control or we can't make decisions for what the Knicks do. But it was just bad. It was just bad. I mean, we probably shouldn't have got him in the first place. I mean, we were thinking he was going to, you know, save us. But, you know, it didn't happen, you know, because that time we didn't have great players like a Jordan and Pippen or a Shaq and Kobe. We didn't have those players. So, you know, it was a bad signing to begin with, you know, when I look back and think about it. But, you know, it's over now, and, you know, you just got to move on. But, you know, I do have a better understanding of what he had to go through, you know, when he was here. So that's my
opinion. I totally agree with you, man. You know, the only way this would have worked is if he had the players and – if, you know, he was coaching the team. And then that, I mean,
he was mentally fit, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
But moving on. Yeah, what you think about the Eagles, you know, moving on to NFL? What do you think about the Eagles moving on to number three?
I think that's good for them, you know, because they need a lot of work. You know, they got rid of their quarterback. You know, they got rid of some of their players in that team. I mean, they need a lot of work this offseason to improve their team. So, you know, they need some help on offense and defense. So we'll see if they can do that with their third pick.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. And people are saying, like, this signals that the Jets are going to draft, you know, Wilson, and they're going to trade away Darnold.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. You know, we'll see if it happens, you know, because they're going to have to give up a lot for Wilson. Not only Darnold, they're going to have to give up Darnold, draft pick, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if that happens. You know, if they can get Wilson, that'd be great. Wilson, you know, you can make a case, you know, he's a top 10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wowed people in his practice.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, recently, so.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wows people in the regular season, you know?
No, I know that, but mm-hmm. He was, like, testing out his throwing arms because there was a bunch of teams, including the Jets, who went to see him, you know, work out. And, you know, obviously, you know, what he did on the field, combine it with what he did casing his talents. I mean, yeah, he's definitely going to get drafted, you know, in the top five for sure.
We're not, are we? I thought we were talking about Russell Wilson.
Oh, no. We're talking about Zach Wilson. You can't draft
I thought we were just talking about training for Russell Wilson. I thought that's what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about
Zach Wilson. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were talking about training for Russell Wilson. I was confused.
Oh, man, yeah. I would love to have Russell Wilson, but he don't look like he wants to come to the Jets, so.
Oh, yeah. If you're talking about Zach Wilson, then, yeah, that would be a good pickup, too, drafting him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the best quarterback in this class is, of course, going to be Lawrence.
Yeah, of course.
Clemson and...
Yeah, Jacksonville is going to get him, of course.
Yeah, it looks like that's going to happen, so...
No doubt about that, for sure. yeah, let's move on. Let me see. Let me see something for a second here. Do you have any thoughts on the Giants signing Zach Fulton?
Yeah, the Giants have been making a lot of moves during this offseason, man. I mean, this is another move that's going to really help them. But, yeah, you got they've improved the offense. They've improved some of the defense now. I mean, you know, you got Zach Fulton, you know, to help the offensive line. I mean, you know, the Giants, they're looking really good. I mean, they're right. To me, they would be the favorites to win this NFC East next year. At this point, you know, they've been major players in this offseason. I mean, I can't think of a team that's done more than the Giants have this offseason. Can you?
Yeah, they've been making some moves for sure. Especially,
yeah.
You know, getting Galladay.
Yep.
And they're not finished yet.
Yeah. Hell yeah. They're not finished. They might even do something during the draft. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
it's like they might, you know, go after Michael Parsons.
Yeah, that's going to be another good one. But I like this. I like this latest move. It improves the offensive line. It gives Daniel Jones some coverage, protection. And, you know, hopefully he'll be able to throw downfield to Galladay, Shepard, you know, some of these other weapons, you know. I like this team right now. It's
mm-hmm.
looking good.
Yeah, now shifting to WWE, man. What do you think about the road to WrestleMania?
Well, you know, it's a few weeks away, right?
Yep.
So yeah, there's some good matchups that I'm looking forward to. You know, definitely want to see the Sasha Banks Bianca match. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's gonna be a good one. Roman Reigns. Is it Roman Reigns?
Edge
and Daniel Bryan. Yeah, that's a good. I think that has the potential to be great. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of matches that could be potentially great. Even, you know, seeing AJ Styles and
Almost.
And the big guy. What's his name
yeah,
again?
Yeah, Almost. Almost.
Oh, yeah, him
almost,
against
almost.
New Day. That's going to be, I think that could be a good matchup right there. I want to see how New Day is going to compete that big son of a gun. How they handle him.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, AJ Styles is going to be wrestling most of that match.
Yeah.
And then he's going to go to the big man and, you know, that's going to be interesting how they're going to beat that guy.
Yeah.
And Kofi's a former WWE champion. So, yeah. I mean, let me see. You got Big E, of course, versus what's his name again? Apollo Crews.
Oh yeah.
They were Big E was tag teaming with Street Profits versus Otis and Gable and what was the other guy again? Oh yeah, Apollo. I think Big E didn't. Wait, no, wait, Apollo won. Apollo hit the an angle slam on him.
Oh yeah,
for
yeah,
the victory.
Yeah. Right.
Trying to think what happened this week. Well, oh yeah, wasn't the pay-per-view last Sunday?
Not this past Sunday. It was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
No, it was this. I'm pretty sure it was this Sunday.
This past Sunday.
Let me see.
Oh,
yeah,
you're probably right.
Fastlane. Let me type it up. I'm pretty sure it was this. So yeah, we haven't talked about the Fiend's return.
Oh yeah, that was last week. You're right about that.
Yeah, that's how WWE is, man. You shoot these pay per views keep just going on and on and on that.
Yeah.
You lose track. So yeah, let's dive right into this pay-per-view event. What's your thoughts on it? was my prediction correct that this pay-per-view was basically pointless?
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. I mean, some of the matches, you know, were okay. I mean, the Randy Orton Alexa Bliss match, I knew the Fiend was gonna come in and interfere somehow, which he did.
The Fiend looked horrible.
Yeah, he looked like something like out of a horror movie.
You look like a burnt up French fry.
Yeah. Friday 13 type stuff, man. Or Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm
Street. Yeah. Of course, Alexa Bliss won that. I mean,
well, yeah.
That should be upset, but, you know, we knew the Fiend was going to interfere, so.
Yeah.
That's what made the upset very obvious.
Yeah. Best match of the night for me, I think.
Reigns versus Daniel?
I'd say that probably was the best match. It was the longest match, too.
Yeah, we're going to dive. Yeah, that was 30 minutes. We're going to dive into that. We're going to knock out all these other matches first, and then we're gonna save that for the main course. So yeah, Riddle defeated Mustafa Ali, and for the United States Championship, he retains it. I think that was when they turned on Mustafa Ali, if I'm not mistaken. Mason,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was.
Flapjack, all those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I mean, this was just a waste of they try to push Mustafa Ali and then they just kill the Reckoning, like Retribution, I should say. Yeah, man. Like, so what are they gonna do? Who's gonna be the leader? Is it gonna be Reckoning or what's gonna happen next?
That's interesting. You know, maybe they. Maybe someone who's currently active right now will be the new leader.
Or maybe even
Raw or SmackDown, you know.
Or maybe even Aleister Black might pop up.
Hey, maybe.
Come back. And then make it even darker.
Yeah.
Because if Alexa Bliss can be dark like that, they're turning Alexa Bliss's character into a satanic, weird, character. So,
yep.
I mean... Yeah, that would be the ideal. Them having, like, Aleister Black would definitely make that team more intimidating. Let's see what else. Big E defeated Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental and retains it. No surprise there. Braun Strowman defeats Elias. Yeah, after Shane McMahon pulled the switcheroo, and then, of course, Braun Strowman's going to fight him at WrestleMania, which, again, proves Fastlane was a waste of time. Seth Rollins defeated Shinsuke Nakamura. No surprise there, of course. Drew McIntyre defeats Sheamus. Rinse and repeat in a no-holds-bar match. You know, we all knew Drew McIntyre was going to win, you know. To continue his momentum, to face Bobby Lashley. And then last but not least, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan, which obviously Daniel Bryan got Roman Reigns to tap out, but Edge turned heel and caused Roman Reigns not to lose the match. So, Roman Reigns is the heel, Edge is now a heel, and Daniel Bryan's actions make him very heelish, but I guess Daniel Bryan is the de facto babyface, you know? I mean, it's just a crazy scenario. The whole SmackDown episode was, what are they going to do for their match, their upcoming match at WrestleMania? Is it going to be a two-night event? Is it going to be a one-night event? And they teased a bunch of ideas, but they literally just went with the idea that we all assumed that they would, and it's a triple threat match.
Yep. And they should have just had Roman Reigns go against Edge, I think.
I know. WWE panicked.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness, we gotta have Daniel Bryan. And you know, don't get me wrong, I'm a Daniel Bryan fan, but he's just being shoehorned into this storyline. It doesn't make sense, to the point that Edge turned heel. Like, for what? Edge had no reason to turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it literally made no sense for Edge to turn heel so quickly. Like, Edge was supposed to be, you know, the baby face, him coming back to win the title. So if Edge wins the title again, so that means he never won the title as a baby face.
Yeah.
And this would be his 12th championship ever. And all the times he's won it has been a baby face. The only time he's won a title as a baby face was when he tag teamed with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that's
that.
That's it. All his title reigns, he's always been the ultimate opportunist. And why is he mad at Daniel Bryan for being an opportunist when he's the ultimate opportunist? That's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, he has a point that he earned his way there. He won. He defeated 29 other men, including Daniel Bryan, for his shot. He's 100% right. He earned his spot. But WWE is the main culprit for shoehorning Daniel Bryan into the storyline. It just didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for Daniel Bryan to be in the storyline. Daniel Bryan only makes sense if Roman Reigns would have won the Royal Rumble and faced him. You know, that's the only way it would have worked. But it's like, they're like, let's put the title on Edge. Oh, wait a minute. Daniel Bryan, he's a fan favorite. The fans wanted Daniel Bryan to win. What do we do? Let's panic. Let's do what we did in WrestleMania 30. Which, in that case, in that instance, that made perfect sense because the fans did not want to see Randy Orton versus Batista, you know, in the main event. So it made sense then. And it was like they were kicking and screaming, you know, to make the right decision for Daniel Bryan to be in it because that wasn't their original choice, you know. That's what happened when you have egotistical people who blame the fans and say that the fans have the power and they're the ones that mess up the situation. When it's there, they need to look in the mirror and say, hey, we're the ones that control, not blame the fans. Does that sound familiar to you, Phil Jackson? But I digress. What else happened? I'm trying to remember what happened in NXT. NXT, they had the signing. Adam Cole, he's going to face his former Undisputed Era, you know, brother, trying to think of his name for Kyle O'Reilly. You know, they were part of you know, Undisputed Era for like 3 years, a little over 3 years, but you know, now they're feuding against each other. Adam Cole betrayed them. Oh, yeah, and that match is going to be a they're going to face off at the takeout. I think it's called NXT Takeover Stand and Deliver. So that's going to be, I think it's going to be a two-night event before WrestleMania. Let me just confirm that. Stand and Deliver. Let's see. Yes, April 7 and 8. So they're going to have a two-night takeover event.
That's going to be is that going to be around the same time as WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's going to be the 2 days before WrestleMania. It's going to be right before WrestleMania. It's going to be April 7, April 8, and then I think WrestleMania is what, 10 and 11 or so? Let me just make sure that. So that's 7 and 8, I think. Okay. Takeover is 7 and 8, and WrestleMania will be I think 10 and 11, is it? Let's see. 10 and 11, that's correct. So, yes, so TakeOver is going to be 7 and 8, and WrestleMania is going to be 10 and 11. So you're missing. So there's 2 days off. You know. That doesn't have wrestling.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't have a pay per view event. But
that's gonna be a jam packed week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gonna have on the NXT. They're gonna have Io Shirai defending her title against Raquel Gonzalez. You're gonna have MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans. And Legado de la Fantasma for the triple threat tag team match with a vacant NXT tag team championship. You're going to have a six-man gauntlet elimination match to determine who's going to be the NXT North American champion on night two. And then you're going to have Walter, the NXT UK champion, versus Tommaso Ciampa. And then night two, April 8th, you got Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross for the NXT Championship. You have Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly in an unsanctioned match. You have Johnny Gargano versus the winner of the Gauntlet Elimination Match from Night 1. They're going to be battling it out on Night 2 for the NXT North American Champion. And then last but not least, you have the NXT Cruiserweight Champion from UK, Jordan Devlin versus Santos Escobar, who's the leader of the Legado de la Fantasma I just mentioned. And he's the NXT Cruiserweight Champion of America. So they're going to battle it out in a ladder match, which Shawn Michaels popped up at the end of the episode and presented them with the ladder match without saying any words to remind the fans of, you know, the ladder match that he had with Razor Ramon to determine who's the undisputed Intercontinental title. And now history is repeating itself, but this time with the NXT Cruiserweight Champion. So they're going to battle in a ladder match to determine who is the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Champion. So that's going to be coming up on April 8th. So
that's going to be phenomenal.
Going to be a lot of crazy stuff going on the world of WWE and NXT. And, on whatchamacallit, AEW, the Pinnacle, that's MJF's group. I'm trying to remember who did they attack? I mean, obviously they attacked Inner Circle and Jericho, and they haven't been seen ever since. People were talking about this, the match that Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa had, I think, last week. And Britt Baker was talking smack about Mick Foley because Mick Foley was commenting on Kane, you know, getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. So, you know, congratulations to him. And the great Khali for, you know, joining Molly Holly into this year's Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah, and Eric Bischoff into this year's Class of Hall of Fame, because they're going to combine this year's Hall of Fame and last year's Hall of Fame to determine, you know, since, you know, COVID, you know, obviously prevented them from having it, you know, one last year. And as a result, Batista, he rescinded his Hall of Fame induction for this year. He's postponing it for a future year when the fans are, you know, back and, you know, basically WWE is back to normal. That's when he's going to go in, when there's more fans. I'm trying to think what else. What's happened in AEW? I can't even remember. Well, they're teasing that Christian's going to make his AEW debut next week against his former TNA Impact Wrestling rival, Frank Kazarian, in a match. I'm trying to think what else happened to AEW. I can't can't really remember right now. I'm drawing a blank. But, yeah, I guess we'll, you know, we'll keep you posted what's going on. I mean, I know they are going to have this upcoming match where Kenny Omega, he's going to be putting his AEW title on the line against Rich Swann, you know, the former NXT Cruiserweight Champion, 205, you know. So, yeah, they're going to be battling out to have an undisputed champion from both shows, both companies. Yeah, that one's going to be coming up next month. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of wrestling and sports. And if you want to find out more about, you know, what's going on in sports and entertainment and sports entertainment, then, you know, ladies and gentlemen, to tune in to next week and all future episodes of Sports Urban Legend. So is there any last words you'd like to say before we head out, Mac?
Yes, everyone, check out my show. Check out your local listings for my show, iMac, and come back here to check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the guy. You know, check out his show, iMac. Also, check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, of course, never forget, come back next week. Same Sports Urban Legend channel, same Sports Urban Legend time. And that would be Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. So, of course, you know, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.